WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The standoff over a Republican redistricting plan in Texas continues. Democratic lawmakers in Illinois and elsewhere have traveled to protest. The governor's ordering them back. New York's Governor Kathy Hochul welcomes some to her state.
Those are the 2025 candidates, in my opinion, for profiles and courage.
In Central California, the Gifford fire continues to burn. It's now grown to 50,000 acres, and Jason Allen reports it's been tough to get a handle on.
As the afternoon goes on, we're going to be looking at some similar conditions that led to the fire exploding in size yesterday.
Parts of Asia are dealing with torrential rains. In Taiwan, it has seen seven consecutive days with 7 inches of rain or more. In Beijing, authorities are warning residents to stay indoors due to the possibility of flooding. On Wall Street today, stocks are higher. The Dow up 468. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.
For WXCO News, I'm Melissa Kay. Wisconsin wildfires may be smaller than the ones in Canada and the western U.S., but as Parker Olson reports, they pose a different challenge here than in seasons past.
This year, 971 fires have burned over 2,500 acres in Wisconsin.
In the last 2 years, we've definitely seen some earlier fire seasons, so longer duration fire seasons. You know, typically, it's been kind of that March, April is kind of our peak, but we're seeing earlier peaks for our fire season over the last couple of years. So definitely earlier snow-free conditions across the state, and we're having fires, you know, statewide.
In the 8 years from 2015 to 2023, there were a total of 33 fires in the months of January and February. This year and last year, there were 200 in those months. Weather is the primary factor on how many fires may occur in a year. Snow plays a key role in the changes to Wisconsin wildfires. Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot says years that are supposed to be colder and snowier aren't delivering the snow and temperatures that allow nature to defend against fires. On the other side of summer, according to prescribed burn specialist Michelle Witeka, droughts are putting Wisconsin at greater risk.
Climate change right now is most definitely impacting our summers. We are dealing with more long-term drought. That guarantee of, you know, no wildfires occurring during this time because it is literally the vegetation is too flush with moisture, that is not something that we can hang our hat on anymore.
With both ends of fire season extending, it's easier to accidentally start a fire. 98% of Wisconsin fires are caused by people. That's why experts say to be cautious, avoid burning on dry, windy days, and make sure that embers are out when you're done. For Civic Media News, I'm Parker Olson.
And I'm Melissa Kay for WXCO.
The Brewers head to Atlanta. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports. Baseball tonight, the Brewers open a series against the Braves. Milwaukee beating the Nationals yesterday 14-3 to complete a three-game sweep. Manager Pat Murphy says adding new talent like infielders Anthony Ziegler, Caleb Durbin, or trading for Brandon Lockridge is keeping them competitive.
You look at Lockridge and Ziegler, and they don't have very many Major League ABs, so once again, I go back to their hunger. They want to impress. They want to be here. And then Durbin's been on the bench a couple days, so he's like, wait a minute, and that matters. You know, Ortiz finding himself. So all that is collectively healthy situation when you have young, hungry players.
NFL, the Packers taking a day off from practice. Then they get ready to host the New York Jets Saturday night. Overall, Matt LaFleur pleased with the work they got done on family night.
I think everybody's juices are flowing to get to our preseason games and get the Jets here next week.
That's the Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Wildfire smoke still lingers, creating a hazy sunshine today with dry conditions. High temperatures scrape the low 80s. Winds are barely moving out of the north, and tonight we'll see a few clouds filtering in. Overnight lows drop to about 60. Tomorrow, we stay sunny and highs still hit the low 80s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 68.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
NFL Hall of Famer, College Football Hall of Famer, Mr. Joe Thomas. You were telling us a little bit about being drafted number 3. You skipped the draft.
I went fishing that day, and I never did it for anything other than I just much rather spend the day fishing with my dad, and I'm hoping that that's a story that keeps being told and gives people a reason. Like, you know what, instead of working today, I'm going to go fishing with my kid. I'm going to make the time because it's impactful. It's memories that they're going to remember for the rest of their life.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us Monday for an important show. Measles is on the rise. Vaccinations are down. We talk to the folks at Wisconsin Watch and what that means for you. Join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Hey, happy Monday. It's a brand new week. Lots of exciting stuff going on this weekend. I will be in Houston this weekend, by the way, this next weekend. You can find all that information over at kpft.org. The GOP's new civil war against America is not with bullets, it's with ballots. We'll talk about that in a moment. Also, is there a way to take down grifter Trump? Robert Reich thinks so. Also, palace intrigue has set in. There's no policy, only power. Instead, we're in deep need of policy and democracy. We'll talk about all those thoughts in the first hour, as well as taking your calls. In the second hour, what happens when economic data dies? And are drag queens being hunted in Florida? I mean, has it gotten that bad? Is this what the Republicans are up to now? We'll talk about that in the second hour of the program. And have we discovered the secret to how Marjorie Taylor Greene turned $700,000 into $22 million in just a couple of years? Well, it appears so. We'll tell you about that. In the third hour of our program, is Donald Trump's flaky Jack Smith investigation just another distraction, or is this a serious effort to destroy anybody who might challenge Trump's crimes? And also, geeky science, plastic is causing disease and death from infancy to old age. Why does America wait until it's too late to do anything about it? So we'll talk about that in the third hour of the program. So a lot of stuff to cover here today. I want to start out with the war against America that has been declared by the Republican Party, not unlike the old Confederacy, frankly. This is being fought with ballots instead of bullets. 51 Texas lawmakers just fled the state of Texas. They headed to Chicago, and from there some went to Massachusetts and some, I believe, went to New York State. J.B. Pritzker invited them to Illinois, said, I'll provide you guys with refuge and protect you from the Texas Rangers. It really appears that the new Republican motto, which, by the way, has been their motto since Nixon sabotaged LBJ's Vietnam peace negotiations and Reagan blew up Carter's deal to get the hostages back. Their motto has been, if you can't win, cheat. Republicans are trying to redistrict Texas to grab 5 more House seats for Republicans. And in order to, gerrymandering, I said redistricting, that's the fancy technical term. Gerrymandering is the word we all get. Right now, about 60% of Texans are Republicans, but about 80%, I don't have the exact numbers, you can easily look them up, but roughly 80% of their congressional delegation is Republicans. They want to make it so it'll be like 90-95% of their congressional delegation will be Republican. We see the same thing around the country. In North Carolina, the state is about 50-50, so much so that they keep electing Democrats to statewide offices like governor. And yet, I believe about three quarters of their congressional delegation are Republicans. Again, look up the numbers. I'm doing this from memory. But you get the point. That's what gerrymandering is and how it works. And so, you know, now the Democrats are saying, well, you know, we're going to call your bluff, the Democrats in Texas. And they fled the state, denying a caucus or, excuse me, a quorum to the state legislature so that they can't pass this legislation that would redistrict the state. Now, Greg Abbott thought he had them. He said, you know, because FEMA has been gutted by Trump, these people, these, you know, over 100 people died in this, you know, god-awful flooding in Texas last month. And they're not apparently getting the kind of resources from FEMA that they were expecting or hoping for. And so the Texas legislature has to appropriate some money to help these folks out. And so Greg Abbott says, we'll do that after we do redistricting. So if it doesn't get done and those people are still stuck without any help, they'll blame the Democrats for leaving the state. And this was his big strategy, right? Well, the Democrats left the state anyway, and it's not going to get done. And we'll see who gets blamed here. But Gene Wu is the caucus chair for the Democratic Party in Texas, and he's a member of the Texas legislature who fled. And he said, quote, Governor Abbott has turned the victims of a historic tragedy into political hostages in his submission to Donald Trump. He's using an intentionally racist map to steal the votes of millions of black and Latino Texans, all to execute a corrupt political deal. Apathy is complicity, and we will not be complicit in the silencing of hardworking communities who have spent decades fighting for the power that Trump wants to steal. Now, I would add, it looks to me like the Supreme Court is fixing to jump into this thing. They have accepted this case of, I believe it's Arkansas, maybe it's Alabama, it's one of those southern states, where the state is about one-third black and has two out of, as I recall, seven districts that are represented by black people, and they want to gerrymander the state to basically gerrymander those two out of existence. And, you know, which would involve drawing lines based on race. And the Roberts Court has repeatedly said they don't think drawing lines based on race is a good idea, even if you're trying to protect marginalized minorities. So I suspect that things are going to get a lot worse as the Supreme Court goes through this case. But that's not happening right now. What's happening right now is this. So, you know, now you've got the DOJ, Trump's handpicked crony, Pam Bondi. She's the former Florida attorney general who was going to investigate Trump University until she got a $25,000 check from Trump. And all the time that she was the top law enforcement officer in Florida, she never looked into, apparently, Jeffrey Epstein, certainly never prosecuted him. And now they've dropped a lawsuit challenging Virginia's last-minute voter purge, throwing massive numbers of people off the voting rolls. They've got the Department of Justice has dropped a lawsuit trying to block an Alabama voter purge and a Kentucky voter purge. These were all lawsuits that were initiated during the Biden administration. This isn't just some small change in policy on the part of the Department of Justice. This is, you know, an actual voter purge of mostly black people and also Hispanic people in Alabama, Kentucky, Florida, Texas. We're seeing this in red state after red state after red state. They are getting ready for this election, for next year's election, the 2026 election. They do not want to lose the House of Representatives because they know that the minute that they lose the House of Representatives, they're going to lose everything. Because once Democrats start doing high-profile investigations, once Democrats control the committees and can issue subpoenas, you're going to start seeing high-level investigations into Epstein. You're going to see high-level investigations into Trump taking bribes. You're going to see investigations into the Trump family profiting and off, like in Belgrade, off his presidency in Serbia. You're going to see investigations into the ways that into what ICE is up to, and the treatment of American citizens, and for that matter, the treatment of immigrants in this country. I mean, you know, if they lose the House of Representatives, they're in deep, deep trouble. And they all know it. And that's why, you know, Raffensperger, you know, the Secretary of State in Georgia, he just announced that he's canceling about 500,000 voters in that state. I mean, you know, this is a state that Trump only won by 115,100 people last year and lost by 11,000 votes 4 years ago. It's a swing state. But, you know, hey, if you purge a half a million people from the voting rolls, most of them in the bigger cities, in the black areas of big cities, then, you know, now you've got it. You know, Greg Palast pointed out to us that had the Republicans not successfully purged over, you know, almost over 4 million people from the voting rolls, purged and prevented from voting, that Kamala Harris would be president right now and Democrats could control the House and Senate. So we've got a, you know, this is the new civil war that the GOP has declared, and they're not using bullets, they're using ballots, at least so far. And, you know, this is going to be fought out not on the campaign trail, although that will happen, but also at your county elections office, your state legislature, and in your mailbox. So now is the time to reach out to your Democratic legislators and say, fight like hell.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
And to encourage, like, you know, I live in Oregon, reach out to the governor here in Oregon. If you live in a blue state, tell him, hey, it's time to seriously think about more gerrymandering. If you're over 50 and experiencing joint stiffness, thinning hair, sagging skin, or brittle nails, there's a critical reason why. And ignoring it could accelerate your aging from the inside out. A respected Texas doctor of physical therapy is sounding the alarm on a rapid decline in collagen, a structural protein essential for strong bones, flexible joints, and youthful skin. By age 50, your collagen levels may have dropped by over 50%, leaving your body vulnerable to pain, weakness, and visible signs of aging. That's why millions have turned to Native Path Collagen to restore what time takes away. This is a clinically supported, bioavailable collagen peptide that's helping men and women significantly strengthen bones and reduce joint pain, visibly reduce wrinkles and sagging skin, boost hair fullness and reverse nail damage, improve cellulite appearance, and feel real results in as little as 14 days. Right now, as a Tom Hartman listener, you can claim up to 45% off for a limited time at getnativepath.com/Hartman. Go to getnativepath.com/Hartman. Supplies are limited and demand is surging.
That sound? It's your recycling at work. And you can thank a Wisconsin woman for making it happen. Millie Zantow saw a waste sorting system in Japan during a trip in the 1970s. She came home to Prairie du Sac in Sauk County inspired. Her research led to the triangle-numbered plastic recycling system we still use today. So can you guess what percent of all the plastics produced in the United States ends up being recycled? 75%? 25%? Or 5%? The answer coming up. Zantow also helped with Wisconsin's recycling laws, along with the opening of one of the first collection centers. But now, are you surprised to learn the answer is just 5% of plastics are recycled? It's according to the group Beyond Plastic. Yet Zantow always believed you don't have to be perfect, you just have to start. There's a smart slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Frank Anderson, who is the founder of Wisconsinology.com. You were great in the documentary. That's really exciting.
I'm really not as a documentary filmmaker because I get bored so quick. You have to really dig into your subject and you got to show up every day, sometimes for years,
yeah,
to let a story unfold or to find a story. I'm good for one day.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Missed my opening rant today? It's usually published over at HartmanReport.com, where you can read it and share it with your friends for free. Check it out, HartmanReport.com. Public education is the cornerstone of democracy, but right now that foundation is under attack. Across the country, lawmakers are pushing school vouchers to defund public schools, sending your tax dollars to private religious institutions. At the same time, they're forcing the Ten Commandments into classrooms and replacing trained counselors with unlicensed school chaplains. This isn't protecting religious freedom. It's violating it. The Freedom From Religion Foundation is standing up for our First Amendment. FFRF uses legal action, education, and advocacy to defend the separation of church and state and protect every student's right to a secular education. If you care about preserving democracy, truth in the classroom, and the Constitution itself, now is the time to act. Go to ffrf.us/school, or text my last name, Hartman, with two N's to 511-511, because public funds should be used to fund education, not religious indoctrination. Text fees across this land,
not with rifles, but by sleight of hand. No uniforms, no battle drums, just laws and lies where the silence comes. They gerrymander maps in the dead of night, hold flood relief to force a fight. And when the people rise to stand and speak, they purge the rolls and cut the weak. The new civil war isn't with bullets, it's with ballots. They don't storm gates, they just quietly callous. They erase your name with a keystroke sting while the tyrants crown themselves as kings. Yeah, the fight is quiet, but the stakes are loud. It's the vote they fear, so they thin the crowd. A check mark stronger than a loaded gun, but they'll twist
the next civil war. Well, it's here. I mean, you know, they're coming after us all the time. It's just incredible. So Robert Reich says this is how to take down con man Donald Trump's gold rush. He starts out, he says, I want to warn you. Now, keep in mind, this guy is, I'm pretty sure he's an economist. I think his training is in economics. I'm not sure exactly. I believe he's got a PhD. Pretty sure he's a professor. And he was the labor secretary under Bill Clinton. So anyhow, he writes, I want to warn you. He points out he's not an investment advisor. But he says, I want to warn you, the financial economy, stocks, bonds, and other derivatives is in for a big reality check, and I think it'll happen soon. He said the second quarter revealed serious strains. That's, you know, April through June. The 1.4% growth rate, I mean, you know, this is terrible. 1.4% growth rate in the second quarter. On average, in the post-war years, we were seeing 4%. In the 1940s, after the war, in the 1950s, 60s, and 70s, under Reagan, I believe it dropped down to 3%. I think it's been in the neighborhood of 3% per decade for the 80s, 90s, and the first decade of the 2000s. But now, under Trump, it's 1.4%. He says this is not good. He's as also worrisome as the auto sector. The tariffs are just starting to hit, and you got 50% on
copper, 50% on Brazilian goods, Canada, 35%. He said the financial economy is immersed in the kind of wild gambling we saw leading up to the 2008 financial crisis. This time with, you know, that was tranches of debt instruments that were organized out of bad mortgages. He said this time it's with cryptocurrency tokens, meme stocks, junk bonds, shares of Meta and Microsoft, and the reemergence of blank check entities, SPACs. This is what Trump used to bring public his Nazi-infested social media site. He said, I attribute all the high-risk gambling to the gambler-in-chief who sits in the Oval Office. He's into crypto, meme stocks, and has done well with his own blank check entity. Plus, he's a con man's con man. So, you know, Robert Reich, so he says, so please, friends, I'm not suggesting you cash in your stocks and bonds, but if I were you, I wouldn't follow the crowd into more risky investments. Again, I'm not an investment advisor. Yeah, well, you know, I wrote about this on Friday, and we talked about it, too. Meanwhile, multiple people appear to be warning Donald Trump that J.D. Vance might be kind of, you know, Brutus to Caesar. You know, not that he would, you know, kill him, which is what Brutus did, you know, et tu Brute, but that he seriously would like to replace him. It turns out, you know, J.D. Vance has attacked Trump in the past and has brought up the issue of Jeffrey Epstein in ways that might be uncomfortable to be Trump, to say the very least. And he has not deleted any of those tweets. They're still out there. So, you know, who has more to gain by Trump being swept up in Epstein? You'll recall it was just a week or two ago that J.D. Vance posted on Twitter words to the effect of time to release the Epstein files. Well, who doesn't want them released? It isn't J.D. Vance, it's his boss. So, yeah. This is a comment by a USA Today columnist Rex Hupke. He says, Vance is an ideological contortionist backed by dodgy tech billionaires like Peter Thiel, Elon Musk, and David Sachs, whose money helped elevate him to become Trump's unlikely vice presidential pick. He says, so it's hard to believe that Vance is watching Trump digging his Epstein hole deeper and deeper and thanking his lucky stars for the president's incompetence and history of loutish behavior. The vice president was already on a magical political ride, buoyed by his own lack of principles. All he needs to do now is sit back and let Trump self-destruct. I think he's doing more than that. I think he's, you know, kind of quietly calling for more Epstein stuff. He says, that surely puts a sparkle in Vance's eye. Yeah, you think? All right, what's on your mind? I'll pick up your calls on the other side of the break. It's 27 minutes past the hour. It's the Tom Hartman Program, occupying the media 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, right here.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
I'll be right back with your call. Stick around. Peter Galluli is the CEO of the wellness company, changing healthcare, starting with the medical emergency kit. This is not a first aid kit. It comes stocked with prescription medication to treat dozens of common and serious illnesses. No more waiting to see your doc sitting in a crowded ER or emergency care or the pharmacy. Your prescriptions are in your emergency medical kit. Peter, welcome to the program. Tell us about this.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, our emergency medical kits are really taking the country by storm. We've helped protect over a million Americans, and it pinch myself when I even say that. Meds like you just mentioned, things like amoxicillin and antibiotics, every American is going to probably get a prescription for these in the next couple of years, right? It's always something. People everywhere are fed up with going to the doctors, fed up with waiting in line for an urgent care, and we all know that the best time to address a sickness is the morning you feel that scratchy throat or the runny nose, rather than trying to wait it out. You need to have medicines on hand in your medicine cabinet today to take. Purchase it online, just like you purchase anything online. There is a 2-minute medical intake questionnaire where we collect some basic data. It goes to our medical team. It's a team of 50 state licensed doctors. So a doctor in your state will review it and call you if they have any questions. If not, we will issue you a medical emergency kit, which will be dispensed through our pharmacy and shipped to your doorstep. It's 100% compliant with the FDA. All of our doctors are registered MD, DOs, or NPs. They do this every day, all day. And the medicines come from our pharmacy, which, again, is prescribing them to you with your name on it and is licensed in all 50 states as well. It took us a long time to build out this infrastructure that allows us to do this, but a lot of Americans are taking advantage.
Peter, thanks so much for dropping by and speaking with us today.
I appreciate it.
Peter Galluli is the CEO of the wellness company, urgentcarekit.com/Tom, T-H-O-M, and use the promo code Tom.
Pat Kreitlow. On Tuesday, we'll have Dan Hagen from Newswatch 12 in Rhinelander, Chad Holmes from our civic media station in Wausau, and our Way Up North segment from Ashland.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
For WXCO News, I'm Melissa Kay. After a contentious spring election, the state Supreme Court now has a new justice. Sholly Pittman reports.
Welcome to Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Susan Crawford. Let's get you sworn in because we got a lot of work to do.
It's official. Susan Crawford is now a justice on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Crawford was sworn in last Friday at the state capitol. Friday's ceremony included remarks from past colleagues, including Judge Everett Mitchell and former Governor Jim Doyle, under whom Crawford served as chief legal counsel. Now Justice Crawford's swearing in begins her 10-year term on the court, and as she addressed the Capitol Rotunda on Friday, she gave a primer on challenging issues before the state Supreme Court. Her conclusion,
from the beginning, this court has stepped up in the moments that matter most. It has taken seriously its duty to interpret our Constitution and protect the rule of law, even when the issues were politically charged, deeply divisive, or hard to untangle.
Crawford was sworn in by Chief Justice Jill Karofsky. She's taken the seat left by outgoing Justice Anne Walsh Bradley, who had her own celebration at the Capitol in June. Crawford's win in April over former Attorney General Brad Schimmel bolstered the court's liberal majority. The race was a repeat of 2023. It smashed spending records for any state Supreme Court race across the nation. Last week, new FEC filings showed that Elon Musk's PAC spent $27 million on petition incentives during the time of the spring election. Musk promised cash and million-dollar prizes to voters who opposed partisan judges. The effort has sparked lawsuits. For Civic Media News, I'm Sholly Pittman.
And I'm Melissa Kay for WXCO.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Wildfire smoke still lingers, creating a hazy sunshine today with dry conditions. High temperatures scrape the low 80s. Winds are barely moving out of the north, and tonight we'll see a few clouds filtering in. Overnight lows drop to about 60. Tomorrow, we stay sunny and highs still hit the low 80s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 72.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, our friend and colleague Todd Alba joins us after 9:30 to break down the news in Wisconsin. Terry Barr in hour number two for Audio Sorbet. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to
11. So much for all of your support.
you know that every weekday we send out an email before the show giving you all the topics coming up so you could be fully informed and ready to interact with our program? Or that after the show we send out Sue's Stack, a list of every topic I've discussed along with clickable hot links to every source of information I've shared with you on the air? It's all completely free and available over at tom.tv, T-H-O-M.tv. Check it out.
It didn't start with tanks or flame, no banners torn, no cities claimed, just a paper sign in a quiet room, a new law passed, a new costume, no sirens screamed, no rifles cracked, just silence loud enough to distract. A neighbor gone, a story missed, a hand unraised, a clenched white fist. This is how it ends, not with a roar, but with a shrug. One rule bent, one truth unplugged. No need for boots to break the line. Democracy dies one silent step at a time. Headline shifts.
35 minutes past the hour. Welcome back. Picking up your calls here, Andre in Chicago. Hey, Andre, what's on your mind today?
Hey, good morning to you, Tom. Happy Monday to you.
Thank you. Back
at
you.
You know, Tom, thank you. You know, Tom, Dr. King said injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere.
Hmm?
I'm tired of hearing elected officials talk about what's wrong with the Trump administration, but don't do nothing about it. In light of what's happening down in Texas with this redistricting, I think all of the state's attorneys in the blue states, and maybe if they can get some in the red states, to come together and to collectively send them to the Supreme Court and be proactive and say, if this redistricting matter gets to the Supreme Court and ask them to preserve the rights of their citizens to be represented, I think that would be helpful to be proactive and send a letter to them.
So you're suggesting that what should get to the Supreme Court?
A letter. You know, all of the state's attorneys
right.
should get together and all sign a letter and send it to the Supreme Court saying if this redistricting map situation in Texas reaches the Supreme Court, asking the Supreme Court to preserve the rights of the citizens to be represented.
Oh, I see.
To try to be proactive because, you know, if they wait, this is how things happen. So I'm just saying they could be proactive to at least put it out there.
Well, here's what the Republicans in Texas are trying to do. They're trying to do the same thing that was done back in the old South prior to the Voting Rights Act in 1965. The Voting Rights Act put an end to this, particularly Section 5, which they gutted a while ago, you know, in 2018, I think, in the Shelby County case. But, you know, it basically used to say that ethnic groups, racial groups, had to have equal representation in the state and federal legislature as majority groups. In other words, blacks and Hispanics and whatnot, any significant ethnic group, you had to be sure that they had some representation if they had large enough numbers. And what they had done was they had gerrymandered those things out of existence. They would take black communities and split them among five different largely white communities so that there was no black representation at all in the South, even though black people were voting. It just didn't matter how they voted. That's what Texas is talking about doing now in getting rid of these five seats. And the Supreme Court has already said it's okay. There's several other cases. There's another case that's coming before the Supreme Court that will take this even farther and will probably gut Section 2, essentially the last remaining section of the Voting Rights Act. But I fully expect that not only, Andre, are they going to get away with this, but that the Supreme Court is going to say it's just fine with us. And then if the Democratic states don't get into a reapportionment war, into a gerrymandering war, then the Republicans are going to end up with forever power in the House anyway. And that's just wrong. I mean, this is the Democratic states need to get their act together and need to fight fire with fire here. And not just New York and California. It needs to be every Democratic state.
Well, you're absolutely right about that, Tom. And then I'm going to say this and hang up. You could weigh in and tell me what role the Electoral College plays in this here. And then don't you think it would be hard for them to prove whether or not their redistricting is based on race or whether it's based on politics? That would be a hard thing to prove.
Well, that's, you know, it's not actually hard to prove that they're redistricting based on race, because we know what the racial boundaries, you know, because the census asks that question, you know, what race are you? So we know. And that's the information that the Republicans are using. So I think that we can do that. We know that the Republicans are knowing that black people by and large vote Democratic, and that a significant majority of Hispanics vote Democratic. The Republicans are doing everything they can to dilute those votes. And that's why Democrats need to be diluting Republican votes. There are more people who live in Democratic districts or in Democratic states, in the blue states, than who live in red states. So, I mean, you know, you look at a map of America and it looks like it's largely red, but it's also largely empty. You know, it's like, you know, states like Montana and Wyoming who have one or two, at the most, two representatives. So, Andre, thank you for the call. Ramon in Arlington, Texas. Hey, Ramon, what's up?
Hey, Tom, thanks for explaining that gerrymandering. The Times did it a little bit better. But what I've heard was hopefully that when they do this, you know, the Republican parties do this, that the Republican people will be so frustrated with Trump's, you know, disappointment that they won't show up to vote. And I just want to know, what do you think about that? And also, are manufacturing jobs coming back to the U.S.? I know that's a different
topic. We've lost 100,000, over 100,000 manufacturing jobs since Trump became president. We were steadily gaining them throughout the Biden years, and Biden had, you know, put into place the CHIPS Act and the solar subsidies and things like that. And those were all causing new manufacturing jobs to be created, particularly during the last 2 years of the Biden administration. But that has reversed under Trump because he's refusing to spend that money. And so manufacturing, and no manufacturer is going to, you know, invest billions of dollars in building a U.S. factory and moving out of Vietnam or Malaysia or China or something until they know that tariffs are going to be there for at least a couple of decades. I mean, that's how long it takes to recover the cost of building a factory. Typically, they're amortized over 30-year periods at the very least. So, you know, that's why Congress said, or that's why the founders, the framers of the Constitution itself, Article 1, Section 7, says only Congress can impose tariffs. The reason being that then everybody knows what happened. There was debate. It was a rational policy, you know, all that kind of stuff. With Trump imposing tariffs, I mean, Apple and everybody else, they're looking at this going, well, yeah, if we build a factory in the United States, we could save some money on tariffs. But what happens if the tariffs go away in 3.5 years when a Democrat comes into office, or even a rational Republican, a Mitt Romney Republican, or if the country goes back to neoliberalism? No, that ain't happening.
Now, even if, like you said, the gerrymandered Republicans do that, can the Democrats overwhelm them, you know, by showing up, you know, because of their cheating?
It's possible.
And also, what do you think about them not showing up?
It's remotely possible. Basically, what they're doing is they'll take an area that's got, just to use completely random numbers, right? They'll take an area that, say, has 1 million people in it, and there is a part of that area that has, you know, a couple of counties, and there's one area that has, say, a town of 30,000 that's largely black. And that would be large enough. Actually, my numbers are too small by an order of 10. But anyhow, that smaller area that's largely black would be large enough to have its own representation. So what the Republicans are doing is they're saying, we're going to take, you know, one, we're going to slice that into five pieces, and we're going to assign those five pieces to five different majority white districts so that there will be absolutely no black representation. That's exactly what Alabama or Arkansas is doing right now, the state that's going to the Supreme Court. And that's what Texas is talking about doing. And no, I don't think that Republicans will object to this. I think they will embrace it.
No.
So, because I think the racism is the principal motivating factor in the GOP right now.
Ramon, I got to move along, but thank you for the call.
We just have to hope that they don't show up because they're frustrated.
Well, that's the one little bit of good news, is that the Jeffrey Epstein stuff seems to be diminishing enthusiasm among the base voters in the Republican Party, which is exactly how the Russians helped Trump get elected in 2016, was they, you know, Paul Manafort gave them voter information in the swing states, and they identified a couple hundred thousand black people in swing states and targeted them via Facebook, the Russians did, with memes about how Hillary Clinton had been, you know, her super predator comment and how she had supported the law in the 1990s that led to mass imprisonment, mass incarceration of black people. And they just so poisoned the well for Hillary Clinton with regard to the black electorate that the black vote just collapsed in those six swing states in 2016. And that's why Trump became president. That Russian effort was successful. And Republicans in the Senate agreed with that, by the way. You know, Marco Rubio signed off on that as a United States senator, on that conclusion. So, you know, that has worked in the past. We'll see about the future. Ramon, I got to run, but thank you for the call. It's 45 minutes past the hour. We're picking up your calls. I'll be right back with more of them, more of you, in just a moment. Stay with us.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
It's the place where despair is not an option. I'll be right back with your call. Stay with us.
Watching television? If you're on a fixed budget, you need to make this free call right now to Dish and find out how you can get a fixed monthly price to watch all the television you want for 3 full years. In addition to a 3-year price guarantee, you can also get free monthly movie rentals. They give you one free movie rental every month. That's a $165 value, yours free. Plus, get free in-home tech visits, no-cost equipment replacements, a free voice remote, and you can watch commercial-free TV. Even access all your favorite apps to stream like Netflix, Amazon Prime, YouTube, and more. Now is the perfect time to call Dish. Take advantage of the 3-year price guarantee. Save yourself some money, and all your equipment is free. Call right now.
800-478-5560. 800-478-5560. 800-478-5560. That's 800-478-5560. Paid for by NPS.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. With Governor Tony Evers choosing not to run for a third term, that means we're going to have the first open race for governor in 16 years. We already know who some of the candidates will be. On the Democratic side, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez launched her campaign, and Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley said he's running. On the Republican side, Washington County Executive Josh Shulman and Southeastern Wisconsin Business Executive Bill Berrien are running. Many more are expected to join the race. And it's not just governor that will have an open race. We could see open races for Attorney General, Lieutenant Governor, Secretary of State, and State Treasurer, too. Couple that with what's happening in the state legislature, no longer under gerrymandered maps, the year 2026 is going to bring a rather unique moment for voters in Wisconsin to determine the path forward on a fresh new era for the state. I know some can be wary of change, but let's embrace this as the real opportunity that it is.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
One of the most basic things that a free people could want, not going bankrupt because of healthcare. If it sounds like I'm banging my head against the microphone, yeah, it's that we are having this discussion about having to hold benefits for people because they didn't have proper health insurance coverage, because they're threatened with bankruptcy, which again happens in no other developed country in the world.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love.
check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mommy, how come I can't sit in the front seat?
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Our daily song is now available on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, YouTube Music, Pandora, Tidal, Deezer, iHeartRadio, and a whole bunch of other platforms. Just look for songs by Louise and Tom Hartman. Check it out. Hey, if you're a homeowner, you need to listen to this. In today's AI and cyber world, scammers are stealing home titles, and your equity is the target. This is how it works. Criminals forge your signature on one document, use a fake notary stamp, pay a small fee with your county, and bang, just like that, your home title has been transferred out of your name. Then they take out loans using your equity or even sell your property. You don't even know it's happened until you get a collection or foreclosure notice. So when's the last time you checked on your home's title? If your answer is never, you need to do something about it right now, which is why I partnered with Home Title Lock, so you can find out today if you are already a victim. Go to HomeTitleLock.com/Tom, T-H-O-M. You get a free title history report and a free trial. They're $1 million triple lock protection. That's 24-7 monitoring of your title, urgent alerts to any changes, and if fraud does happen, they'll spend up to $1 million to fix it. Find out why I trust Home Title Lock. Protect yourself like Louise and I did. Don't become a victim. Protect your equity today. Go to HomeTitleLock.com/Tom, T-H-O-M. That's HomeTitleLock.com/Tom. Welcome back. 9 minutes before the hour. Picking up your calls here, Mike in Hope Sound, Florida. Hey, Mike, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom. I'm trying to be brief because I have the luxury of talking to you a couple times, and I'd like to get somebody new on. But I want to say this, that I appreciate the positivity all the time, and despair is not an option. But when I hear things like we're at war and the Confederacy, and it's a Klan, not a cult, it's getting worse. I totally agree with that. But what really gets me is that good Americans aren't treating like this as a war, which it is. It's a war we're losing, and much like the Civil War, the South was winning the Civil War. And that war started 30, 40 years before 1860, yep. Right, if anybody knows history.
Yep.
But, you know, I want to run this by you, and I think you know that I've run this by you before, and I'll say this. If something happens where southern states or red states in Texas and Florida really get upset with the next blue president, if there's ever one, can we let them secede? Because I'm all for it. Tom, I don't want anything. No, I don't mean this jokingly. Let me tell you something.
No, I'm with you.
Complaints about the Republicans.
I am absolutely with you, Mike.
I don't know. You mentioned
if the South wants to secede, it's fine with me.
Yeah, you mentioned Don Bongino, and you said, well, he used to be on my show. He's a good guy. Maybe he was a good guy, whatever. I have a different take. I cut these people up, including family members, 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. Maybe I have insight. Maybe I'm like, these people are in a cult. I can't change them. And you know what? They're dangerous. Yeah. And as we've seen it, they're life-threatening. People have died because of these people being complicit. Women and girls have been attacked because of these complicit jerks, and a lot of these people are women, white women. I live in Florida. Let me tell you something. The stuff I hear out of these women's mouths makes me lose my respect for women, which is one thing I've always had in my life. But I had a good mother. I had good teachers. I was shocked to realize, hey, you know what? women can be just as vile as some of these cult men, and not as violent, let's be face it. Men are the violent ones. But, you know, I mean that in all sincerity. I personally do not want anything to do with them, even if Democrats win the House,
yeah,
when we better, or if we turn things around in 10 or 20 years and we talk about this like he's McCarthy, which he's worse than McCarthy. He's worse than Nixon. Those two guys didn't have a cult behind them. And this cult is bred by hundreds of years of racism and misogyny and power-hungry oligarchs now. So,
well, and let's not forget, you know, 11 years on NBC with The Apprentice. I mean, that's how most Americans continue to think of Donald Trump. He was portrayed to the world not as the multiple serial failure businessman that he was, but as this guy who was an average Joe who had risen to the heights and had all kinds of compassion and decency and thoughtfulness. And it was a complete fake persona, and people are still buying it.
Well, you know what? Those people have been so willfully ignorant that I'm not going to be at the mercy of stupid people.
Yeah.
They know better. They're not stupid. When I say stupid, they know the truth.
Yeah.
They just like it.
No, I get what you're saying, Mike, and I'm horrified by the positions that all of these guys, including Dan Bongino, have taken.
But Dan was, you know.
I don't know. I have to have a certain level of respect for somebody who, you know, for the better part of 2 years, Dan came on my program every week or two and in good faith argued with me. He usually lost the arguments, frankly. But, you know, I think that they were honest attempts. I don't know where he's at right now. You know, I do know what his job is, and I've seen him complain about it. And I think maybe he's a little disheartened. He might be one of the few decent people in the administration. I just don't know.
Yeah, and you know what? Let's be fair to him. If somebody comes on your show to debate with you, do they really have a chance? Like, it's kind of like shooting fish in a barrel, Tom. I've heard you for years, and it's like, wow, it's like kind of arguing with Christopher Hitchens. The guy is going to maybe break even if he's lucky. So you're a good one, Tom.
Well, thank you. But my point is that, you know, Dan really, he tried. And I don't mean this to be a defense of Dan Bongino, and I don't know how we got going down that rabbit hole other than my having made that offhand comment. Right. But by and large, I do still have people in my life, you know, people that I have to do business with or neighbors, you know, who are hardcore Trumpers. And I'm not just going to, you know, cut their heads off or even bring up, politics with them. I realize they live in a cult, and I some of the, you know, if any of them were to express just, you know, disgusting, outright racism to me or something, that would be it. But if I have to continue dealing with these people, and we can do it without discussing, you know, religion or politics, you know, I will make that choice. Mike, I got to run, but thank you for the call. It's wild how polarized we've all become, you know? The first 15 years of this program, literally every week, Sean would book two or three conservatives for me to debate, and we had reasonable discussions. It's gone nuts.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Public education is the cornerstone of democracy, and right now that foundation is under attack. Across the country, lawmakers are pushing school vouchers to defund public schools, sending your tax dollars to private religious institutions. At the same time, they're forcing the Ten Commandments into classrooms and replacing trained counselors with unlicensed school chaplains. This is not protecting religious freedom. It's violating it. The Freedom From Religion Foundation is standing up for our First Amendment. FFRF uses legal action, education, and advocacy to defend the separation of church and state and protect every student's right to a secular education. If you care about preserving democracy, truth in the classroom, and the Constitution itself, now is the time to act. Go to ffrf.us/school or text my last name, Hartman, with two N's to 511-511 to become a member. Because public funds should fund education, not religious indoctrination.
where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Democratic lawmakers fled Texas over a Republican redistricting plan. Some ended up in New York, where Governor Kathy Hochul says they're welcome.
Americans don't want a system that's stacked against them. They believe in fairness. It's fundamental.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says he will convene a cabinet meeting to decide on how to proceed in Gaza. The BBC's Yolan Nell.
The prime minister is said to have come to the conclusion that Hamas is not interested in agreeing a ceasefire and hostage release deal, as has been discussed through these indirect talks that had been going on in Qatar. They seem to have reached some kind of an impasse in the past week or so.
The massive Gifford fire in central California has grown to 50,000 acres. CBS's Jason Allen.
This is not an area where there are high population centers, but there are homes, there are ranches. Firefighters, a thousand that are working on this right now, have been trying to protect more than 400 structures, and there are evacuation orders in place.
CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.